Blog Talk Radio.
It's 3 p.m., and I have a question for you. Do you know where your politicians are? Everything is political in your life, from the moment you're born to the moment you die. And when a politician tells you that's not true, look in your pocket. You'll find their hand in it. Everything is political. We will be talking to those politicians that are working for you and talking about those politicians that are working against you. Just because they're a Democrat, or just because they're a Republican, and you voted that way your entire life, maybe you were wrong. Because everybody is not what they seem to be. However, there are a few out there who are working for your benefit, and we are going to bring them to you. We're going to let you hear them. We're going to ask them questions. We're going to let you ask them questions. And we're going to be discussing education system, the military, science, music, sports, oh, and health care. Do you have it? Do you need it? Are your 26-year-olds still on the family health care plan? Or, as the regressive party says, Obamacare. We will bring you what you need to know, because this is the last word. And everything, from the cities, counties, state, nation, the entire world. So sit down and get a pencil, paper, and take this graduate education experience. And we will make sure that you have the last word. My name is Michael Lawson.
right. Stand by me. And this is October the 1st, my wife's birthday, Jimmy Carter's birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Penny and Carter. Happy birthday to you. Penny and Jimmy, have a great birthday. Now, they weren't born the same year, though. But that's great to have your birthday on the first day of the month. That's how they worked that out. No idea, but they did, both of them. And I'm sure there's plenty others. I'm only interested in my wife and Jimmy Carter's. This is October 1st, as I said, 2021. And there is so much going on in the last month or so. I have been trying, beside my leg, and I have to go get an operation on my back. I got a cyst on my back. That needs to be taken and removed. I got to get my teeth done. That's a couple of weeks from now, next week. I just finished my physical. Everything I assume is all right. I haven't looked at my chart yet. I'll do that when we're doing our next segment. But anyway, how are you all out there? How are you all doing out there running over those potholes in the streets and trees falling down, losing power, losing all electricity, having to use your stove with charcoal in it or tree stumps in it? Come on. Down there, you people down in Texas, you're really pitiful. That place is so spread out. Then there's no transportation. They're running amok. And see, everybody, please listen to me. The President of the United States, the Vice President of the United States, none of the Joint Chiefs, nobody has power in your state but your state representative. And if your state representative denies you power because it wants to give the contractor that controls the power a big break so they don't do everything that's needed, what happened on the freezing cold? You guys were all out. What happened when it rained? You were all out. You couldn't get nothing. But you still elect these dumbbells as your senators and congressmen. I mean, it's ludicrous. Now, every 10 years or so, they have a chance to remake everything. And every group that's in office, Democrat, Republican, has the same opportunity to remake itself. But here's a little clinker. The people who get in power, they have to say, well, we can't have this change. We have to remain in power. How do we do that? Well, we'll create more districts and more congressional seats, I should say. More districts, you make more congressional seats. And we won't lose these because we will gerrymander them. Gerrymander means get all your people together in one area, take them from other areas, so you can have this big seat. Because Texas is spread out, and they got these districts all over the country, all over the state. And they found out they can lose. They don't have to have as many Democrats and Republicans in the state. If it's spread out, the districts will do the voting. Now, you people who...
Here's a common political story that gets told these days about Texas.
For decades, Texas has been considered a red state, but Democrats are hopeful this election could be different.
Back in 2020, during the presidential election, you may remember hearing about the rapidly changing demographics of Texas, how the population of big cities was exploding.
Joe Biden making a bid for red state Texas.
A population that was younger, more diverse.
The state is about 40% white, about 40% Hispanic.
And that could turn the state from a solidly Republican one into a swing state.
Democrats are very hopeful.
Democrats now believe Texas is within reach.
New polling estimates President Trump and Joe Biden are tied in Texas.
ABC News is now considering Texas as a toss-up state.
Well, in the end, Joe Biden lost Texas by 6 points, 46% to 52%. Those numbers might suggest that Texas is nearly split down the middle between Democrats and Republicans, but that is not the story you see if you look at Texas at the state government level. You see, in Texas, Republicans have held on to control over the entire state government since 2003. We're talking about the state house, state senate, and the governor's office. Total control since 2003. That means in Texas, people in their mid-30s have never voted in an election that gave Democrats power in the state capitol. And that kind of power matters.
The state of Texas has passed what some are calling the most restrictive abortion law in the United States.
This year, Republicans in Texas were able to pass a near total ban on abortion, which is currently being challenged in court. And remember this summer when Texas Democrats fled the state?
Democratic lawmakers bolted the state capitol this afternoon.
They were trying to delay a controversial new voting law.
The Texas bill would mandate new ID requirements for voting by mail and ban drive-through voting sites and 24-hour voting.
But delaying those things was the only play available to Democrats.
Election integrity is now law in the state of Texas.
Republicans passed the bill. Governor Greg Abbott signed it into law this month. So yeah, power at the state level matters. And now lawmakers in Texas and other states are about to use that power to their own advantage.
Redistricting is oftentimes a process that is abused. You can sort of make elections almost meaningless because of the way that you draw district boundaries.
Redistricting. Consider this. New lines are being drawn to define congressional and state-level voting districts, which means in states across the country, the party in power can now give itself even more. From NPR, I'm Elsa Chang. It's Thursday, September 30th.
Support for NPR and the following message come from 3M, who is helping to protect those on the front lines every day. As the father of a healthcare worker, 3M employee Chris understood how important it was for his daughter and nurses like her to be protected during COVID-19. At the height of the pandemic, he worked hard to direct high-performing personal protective equipment to hospitals and hotspots. Hear his story at 3M.com/improvinglives. 3M science applied to life.
It's Consider This from NPR. Another reason redistricting is a big deal is that it only happens once every 10 years. That is when, according to a process laid out in the Constitution, states redraw the lines that define congressional and state legislative districts. They do that using data they receive from the U.S. Census, but the process is not only data-driven. You see, the Supreme Court has ruled that it is perfectly legal for the party in power to draw lines according to its own political interest, meaning it can use redistricting to split up voters of the opposing party in ways that make it harder for the opposing party to win majorities from district to district. And while some states do use independent commissions to draw district lines, in many states, like Texas, the party in power draws maps that shore up its political power for a decade.
We got the text, like the maps are out. These are the maps that we have been waiting for.
Stephanie Gomez is Associate Director of Common Cause Texas, a nonprofit that works on issues like voting and elections. She was waiting eagerly on Monday when Republican state lawmakers released their first draft of the new congressional map.
I don't know if I'm allowed to cuss, but it was very like, oh, hell, like the maps are out. It was just everyone open up the maps and let's take a look at everything.
So remember all that population growth we mentioned in Texas? It's been driven almost entirely by people of color. And it's the reason that Texas next year will gain two more seats in the U.S. House of Representatives, where seats are allocated by state population.
Of course, our eyes were like, okay, we're supposed to get two opportunity districts for minorities. Let's see where they end up putting those. And you know,
when Gomez got a closer look at the new Texas maps, she saw what many Democrats expected and feared. You see, the state's new map would actually reduce the number of congressional districts where voters of color are in the majority. And the map would protect Republican incumbents who might have been vulnerable by packing their districts with even more Trump supporters. The Princeton Gerrymandering Project, which grades redistricting maps on things like how compact or competitive the districts are, gave the Texas congressional map a flat-out F.
It's so hard to be a Texan who is fighting for an equitable democracy. Like, we are constantly being met with our deepest, worst fears.
We wanted to talk more about how redistricting is playing out in Texas and across the country, so I spoke to two people following this closely, Michael Lee, a redistricting expert at the Brennan Center for Justice, and James Barragan of the Texas Tribune. James, can you just give us an example on this map where you think minority voters, Democratic voters, would absolutely feel the effects of this most recent redistricting in Texas proposed by the Republicans?
Well, sure. There are certain areas where there's just more people of color. And the one I'm thinking particularly, just because I've covered it for many years, is the Dallas-Fort Worth area, where the Hispanic population in Dallas is actually the largest racial or ethnic group in the county. And there was opportunity there for those people to have a candidate of their choice. And there was no such district drawn. And that's important because, particularly in Dallas, like there's never been a Hispanic elected to Congress from that area, even though it's a significant amount of the population.
Michael Lee?
And in fact, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, in fact, it took Latinos backwards. They're right now in the 33rd Congressional District, which is represented by Congressman Mark Veazey. The population by citizen voting age is about 48% Latino. Under the new map, it is 42% Latino, and that is because the state drew this long tentacle that stretches up from rural Congressional District 6 and takes out a bunch of Latinos in the Irving area and submerges them into this district that Anglo voters control. And that's an example of the cracking that is going on this map. Cracking and packing are two techniques of redistricting. Cracking basically means dividing up communities, whether they're political communities or racial or ethnic communities. Packing means like concentrating them,
Cracking is a way to dilute minority voting power. Packing is a way to give them fewer districts.
That's a good way to say it. Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, both are used and both discriminate, which gets used where depends on what is most useful to a map drawer at any given place.
And how are Republicans defending this redistricting plan, James?
Well, they're saying that they've drawn it on a race-blind basis and that they've asked the Attorney General's office if it complies with the Voting Rights Act, and they've received an affirmative answer. But there's been no transparency about exactly how they're achieving that. And there have been pointed questions from senators and lawmakers of color, and there have been no real answers. I think one of the points that Michael has made is that the map drawers can actually waive that attorney-client privilege to give the public some transparency as to how they're reaching these decisions, and they have chosen not to do so.
Mm-hmm. But let's be very clear, legally speaking. I mean, what we're talking about, partisan gerrymandering, that is redrawing district boundaries that give political advantage to the party in power, it's been going on for generations now. And it is not in and of itself unconstitutional, right, Michael? I mean, the Supreme Court reinforced that it is not in and of itself unconstitutional back in 2019.
That's right.
Okay.
And the
we're
Supreme
back
Court
going.
In its 2019 Rubio versus Common Cause decision said that partisan gerrymandering claims brought under the U.S. Constitution are non-justiciable political questions, which means that they can't be heard in federal court. But that doesn't mean that there isn't some limit to partisan gerrymandering, because in another decision, the Supreme Court said if you overuse race as a tool to achieve partisan advantage, that could be a racial gerrymander that violates the Constitution. In other words, you can't use race as a tool that you get to a partisan gerrymander. And, of course, the reality is in Texas, you can't get to a partisan gerrymander without hurting communities of color.
Partisanship and race are inextricably intertwined in a state like Texas. Well, we should also point out that this is also the first time that states are redrawing congressional districts since the Supreme Court gutted part of the Voting Rights Act when they eviscerated a provision that had required certain states with a history of racial discrimination in voting to get pre-clearance from the federal government before making any voting changes. That was Shelby County v. Holder back in 2013. James, I'm curious, what do you think? How much can we attribute what's happening in Texas right now to that Supreme Court ruling back in 2013?
I think a large portion of it could probably be attributed to it. There's no buffer to protect voters of color from being discriminated against. Of course, there can be litigation, and people who are aggrieved by this can try to get an injunction on these maps. But previously, there had been this requirement that the federal government had to okay these maps. And that was put in place specifically to prevent this kind of discrimination against voters of color. And that is no longer the case right now.
Mm-hmm. And in fact, the big impact of the loss of Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act is that it changes the incentives. You know, right now, there's nothing that discourages Texas from being as aggressive as it is and then daring courts to strike it down, whereas in the past, Texas had to get these maps pre-approved and couldn't use them unless they were pre-approved. And so that maybe militated behavior a little bit because, you know, you needed to get the maps pre-approved, and so right. Maybe you weren't on your worst behavior, but now there is no cop on the beat, and Texas can do whatever it wants and force litigants to go into court and spend years potentially litigating over what
right.
they did.
There is no preemptive mechanism to block this kind of voting change before it goes into effect. Well, Democrats have also pushed to use partisan gerrymandering to their advantage in states like Maryland, Illinois, and New York. Michael, can you just talk a little bit about how the redistricting process in New York is playing out so far?
Well, what we're seeing around the country is that the process is a lot more partisan than it was last time. You know, even in states that adopted reforms that were designed to make the process more bipartisan, that isn't turning out to be true. Now, that is more true in the states with independent commissions because you have people who are more removed from the political process, but a lot of the bipartisan reforms still have a lot of legislative involvement. And what we're seeing in those states is that people are putting on their team hats and trying to maximize advantage for their political party. And, you know, Democrats this cycle are doing it as much as Republicans. In the past, Democrats have been a little asleep at the wheel, but they're awake this year.
Well, James, these maps in Texas are not final. Can you just tell us what's the next step in the process here?
Sure. We've started off in the Senate, and of course, the Senate map has actually moved through committee. The congressional map, we just had a hearing today, but it'll move through the process. If it's approved by the Senate, it'll get sent over to the House, and then the House will go through the same process before sending it over to the governor. I think one complicating factor is that we're in a 30-day special legislative session here in Texas, and so it's not the only issue on our agenda, actually. There's a couple of other issues that are on our agenda, but it does have to go through both chambers before it can be approved by the governor.
That was Michael Lee at the Brennan Center for Justice and James Barragan of the Texas Tribune. It's Consider This from NPR. I'm Elsa Chang.
Okay, that was a if we have time, I'm going to play that again because part of it was cut out. We had a problem with Skype, and I couldn't get back on. And let's see, someone's calling in now. Who's calling in? Who's this?
Yeah, I'm calling in. I wanted to find
Hello?
Out. Yeah, can you hear me? Good. I'm glad you can hear me.
Yes, I hear you fine.
Okay.
Yes.
So I saw your title about Let's Get the Organizers. Now that I've arrived,
yes.
Now I know what you're talking about. Would I be right in assuming that you don't like, or you think this is some gerrymandering is unfairly done against people of color?
The gerrymandering, it might have started out that way, but I think it's against anybody that ain't with them.
Well, I would even say yes and no, because when the NPR in particular is using this concept about how it's discriminating against people of color, you have to ask the question, how's it discriminating? They still have the right to vote.
Yeah, of course. But just because you have the right to vote, but then you can't vote because they took all the places you vote out of your district. And if they take them out of your district, how do you get a district person to win the election?
Wait a minute.
Because they control. Now follow me. Okay. Here's the thing. You have the right to vote.
Yeah.
But where are you going to vote if there's no place to put your ballot?
How can that be? If you're in the United States, you have the right to vote no matter where you are.
Because they close. Okay. Yes, that's right. But, you know, don't you have to go someplace to put your ballot in?
Yeah, there's a polling place that you have to go to. Yeah.
Right, polling place. Okay, what they did was they took all the polling places out of those districts to make them set up. If they had 50, they now have 2. And Texas isn't like New York with a bus on every street corner, because there are no street corners.
Okay, so
people can't vote. This does.
Yeah, they get on top of the horse, they get inside the truck, and they go. They go a few miles out of the way to the polling place. So what?
But it's not a few miles. It's not a few miles. They had one place they talked about last year that was 30 miles away. 30 miles.
So
okay.
You get there in a half an hour. So what?
Oh, okay. So what?
Yeah.
When you vote, I'm asking, why are we still voting that way? Why can't we vote with our phones like we do with our bank accounts? Which is more important?
Well, for one thing.
Your bank account or your vote?
Well, you can encrypt your bank account. And
why can't you encrypt your vote?
Well, because I wouldn't trust the government to do that. They would read your vote.
But wait a minute. They're controlling your bank account.
No, they don't control the encryption online on your bank account. When you sign into your bank account, you're logging in. It's controlled by the bank. It's between you and the web designer.
And the web designer, correct. Why can't that be done for our vote?
Well, because the government's crooked. The government will read your vote.
Okay. If the government is, I tell you what, which one I protect better? Do I protect my vote better or protect my money better?
You would protect both. But if the government is allowing Google, for example, to track your phone, even when you have the phone off.
Yeah.
Okay. I wouldn't trust the government for that electronic.
You can get rid of that. But you can get rid of that on your phone.
You can
get
rid of a lot of stuff on your phone. But the thing is, the government isn't going to do that. The government isn't going
to. Not the government. You can personally. You can personally get rid of
that
track on your phone.
No, you can't.
Sure you can.
You cannot.
Yes, you can.
As long as you're connected via cell phone, either cellular or wireless, the government or Google, which is about the same thing, has control as to what's going into your phone and possibly even what's coming out of it.
Well, it's not what's going in, because you're putting what's going in.
I don't know. There's a news article about Google's plans to put contact tracing on your phone without you even knowing about it.
Okay. Okay. Now, why? So then, how can you trust your money in your bank if they're going to do that?
I don't understand the relevancy between.
Here's the relevancy. If you can trust your money being safe in your bank, why can't you trust your vote?
It's between you and the web designer. The government isn't interfering with your being online to log into your account. If they wanted to read your account, they surely could. Oh, and by the way.
Well, I'm sure they can. Yes, they do. They have a place in, I think it's in, Arizona. It must be in Oklahoma or somewhere they built. It's underground.
Mm-hmm.
And they can tap into anybody's phone they want. Anytime they want.
Oh,
they supposedly have stopped that.
Well,
so
Congress can stop anything, but Congress is it's a bunch of people who are either blackmailed or bribed. They're a bunch of out of court.
Well, the thing is, though, how do you trust anybody if they can do that? You can't trust anybody.
Well, I mean, if you're going
Congress
to...
Congress going
to
know?
Yeah. It depends upon the motivation. They have the power. I mean, if they really wanted to find out your bank account, they can. But But if when it comes to the vote, at that particular time, they're concentrating on finding, could find out what your vote's like. There is no follow-up. There is no security as, and to know whether or not they're actually dealing with your phone in that way, unless you get to the machines. Now, the machines now, the Dominion machines, you have semi-access to because they're machines on the ground and not centralized in the government headquarters. But if you're going to vote by phone, I would assume that the government would have it centered in D.C., and they'd be able to read every vote. As a matter of fact, every vote was tallied and captured on, what they call them, image packs, something like that. But it wasn't done by the government. See, I wouldn't trust the government trust the government to tell me it's today's Friday.
Why can't we get a vote done by a private concern, just say that the same concern that does your bank account? Why can't they also do the vote?
Oh, they can. But if the government wants to bribe them or extort them, they can't. See, there isn't anything there isn't anything that can't be and isn't controlled by the government. The government makes laws in order for it to benefit its power, not us.
You're absolutely right. I agree with that. But I also know that they can't do anything to anybody unless they get an input from that person that has it. So if you're saying that you wouldn't trust them with your vote, but you'll trust that they won't get into your bank account, I wouldn't trust them.
They have the power if they want to. As a matter of fact, they don't even have to do it electronically. They've already passed a law. Remember when the government said the banks would have to report to the government any transaction that was $10,000 or more?
Correct.
They just now made it, $260. So that's another way.
$260? Any transaction of $260, the government now can get into your, can now subject it. They can go in and look at it. What you're saying?
The bank will report to the government what you're doing if any transaction is over $260. Yeah.
Okay. They have to do that or they can do that?
No, I think that it's mandated that they do that. And even if it's not now, it will be by tomorrow.
Okay. Okay, here's the thing. Where'd you see that at? Because I'd like to write that down. I'd like to look at that.
Okay. I don't know offhand, but I guess you can put the keywords into Google. Government surveilling bank transactions, and you can put in $260, or maybe you want to put in over $200, or mix around the keywords. It should pop up.
When did they do this?
About a month ago, I think.
Really? Where'd you hear this at?
Now, like I said, I don't remember the exact source, but it was online.
I'm going to look it up right now.
Okay.
Okay, let's see what comes up here. Move this thing out of there. Let's see. Okay. Government looking at all transactions over $260. Okay. Nothing's coming up.
Okay. Let's see what other keywords would be apropos. Government mandating banks. Banks report transactions over $200. That would probably be a little bit more pointed.
Okay. Government. Uh, Is that for people that make a lot of money? I'm looking at transactions over $10,000. That came up.
Well, maybe inside that article, maybe there might be a side note to the new transaction, but it should pop up within the first 20 websites.
Let's see. Don't see what you're looking for. Okay. Country is a calendar, date, $200. Any country is a political action committee, any parties. You sure it's not just for a political
action
committee?
No, I'm not talking about contributions to PAC. No, I'm talking about bank contracts.
Okay, how much cash do you have to report to banks? They have yet $10,000.
That's all it says?
Me going at each state. Yeah, so it says, for some transactions, PDF is also cashier's check, bank check, traveler's check, any money or order with the face amount of $10,000 or less. $10,000 or less. A person
must report. $10,000 or less. Okay,
yes,
now we're on the right track. Because $10,000 or less means any amount of money.
A periodic transaction report instructions. Any PTR filed more than 30 days after the due date shall be subject to a $200 penalty. Such penalties must be made payable to the So that's it's a penalty of $200.
All right. I don't want to have to get up from where I am to go to my my PC to find
that's right.
it.
I believe the people that do our bank accounts.
Yeah.
Who control it. If they were given the opportunity to do the vote, they would do it. Now, what has to happen, we have to change everything that we do. And we're practically doing it now. We're voting by mail. And I believe, I forgot what state, they've been voting by mail for 30 years. Iowa, I think it's Iowa. Iowa, one of those states out there, they've been voting by mail for 30 years. They've had no problem.
Well, that's because Iowa may have had certain restrictions on the and monitoring of the mail-in ballots. But when the mail-in ballots started taking a rush during the November 2020 election, the state attorney generals, they had changed the laws so that they didn't have to be verification of the votes that came in by mail. They didn't check signatures. They didn't check addresses. They didn't check the voter rolls.
Yeah,
they
who
just accepted
did that?
It.
Who was the one who did that? What's the state that did that?
The four swing states.
Well, they proved that, and one of the states is Arizona, and they proved that was not true.
Well, the order that just came out did say that the
GOP paid a couple of $1 million to audit that state after already three audits were done, and they came up with their own auditors. Everybody in charge was a Republican, wasn't an independent, wasn't a Democrat, didn't belong to any party but the Republican Party. And they found out that Biden got 864 additional votes, and that the president at the time, he got minus 500 votes. So,
but Arizona was
the
state that Trump had won, and the Maricopa County.
He didn't win.
Yeah, and the Maricopa
candidate.
No, Arizona, he won.
No, he lost Arizona. That's what the whole problem was. He lost Arizona.
I heard he won Arizona, and that this audit only showed that Trump was going out of his way to make trouble because since he won it, people were wondering how come they wanted an audit there. But that's okay. If he lost Arizona.
Why did he have an audit if he won the state? Why do you do that?
That's the question.
Why is he having an audit?
Right. That's what the question was.
Even
if he won the state, they wanted to find out if there was election fraud. The audit found that there wasn't election fraud, but, like I say, a few million dollars went into it. And the state legislatures, when Giuliani had presented evidence of affidavits and video evidence, they didn't. The Supreme Court didn't want to see it, and the state legislatures didn't do anything when they did see the evidence. When you have legal evidence,
why did they not do that? They not do that?
The GOP has never been his people. The GOP never wanted Trump in, and for the first 2 years, they always fought against Trump. When Trump got popular, then they needed him in order to get reelected. So then they changed their tune, like Lindsey Graham changed his tune. But they never liked Trump. And when it came time to certification of the Electoral College, they all voted against him. So they never wanted Trump. Trump was a guy who wanted to go and drain the swamp. So he never had the GOP party.
I don't understand any of that because it's not what it says. They reviewed it. He said, "Report Maricopa County 2020 election ordered by Arizona State Republicans and presented to them on Friday affirmed the results of the state's certification. President Joe Biden won Arizona." Now, this is what they're saying.
The GOP is not Trump's party. Trump ran as a Republican.
Why did they have spend all this money on an election if they knew they weren't going to win?
Why did they say that again?
Why did they have an audit by their own people?
Well, in order to confirm.
If they knew they weren't going to win.
Well, no. I mean, if they came up with the result that Trump won, they then would be absolved of any type of blame, of any type of election fraud. But the Republicans could have cared less if Trump was reelected or elected. They could have cared less. The Democrats in particular didn't want Trump in there. But people who actually know about the way government works knows that the Republican Party is the same as the Democrat Party. There's no difference. They're both crooked.
Okay. I'm in the Democratic Party, but I'm not in it that hard to find out if anybody's crooked. But what I'm saying is that the ballots aren't going to prove whether you're crooked or not. That's not the way to find out whether you're crooked or not.
Sure it is.
If there's election fraud,
you have to investigate.
Right. If there's not, what do you do then?
Well, if it's found legitimately that there is an election fraud, then you go on as usual. You say, okay, there's no election fraud. Let's continue on with the process. But Maricopa County is only one county. Mm-hmm. There were four swing states.
Well, it's the largest. It's the largest.
Yeah. But Trump had already – well, you say Trump lost. Okay, I heard that he won.
Wait, before you go on any further, you heard he won. But, you see, where did you hear this at? I mean, he won by – Biden won by 45,000 votes. So where did you hear that he won? See, that's the problem we have right now. People are getting the wrong information, and it's being spread by Trump. So you get rid of this man because we can't have this. And the people who don't like Trump need to get somebody else to run against the Democrats. They need to get somebody else.
Yeah, we already got somebody in there called Biden. How good of a job do you think he's doing?
No. I'm saying no. If the Republican Party didn't like Trump, why didn't they get somebody else and run against him? Why didn't they get somebody else?
Like who?
I don't know.
He had rallies of 100,000 people going to his rallies.
But you just told me that they didn't like him.
The Republican Party does not like him. But if they're going to put up somebody against him, it would have to be somebody that's going to beat him. Who in the Republican Party would beat him?
But the Republican Party, but they wouldn't have put up anybody against him. They didn't like him, but they said we're going to put him up anyway because he's going to run against Biden.
Well, it's not that they put him up. I mean, he he was the only logical choice. If they didn't,
right.
If he said, I'm not going to run, that'd be one thing. If he said, I'm going to run, and the RNC says, nah, we're not going to let you run, there would be a riot in America.
Right.
The guy's popularity rating.
The thing is, I understand, I don't think there would be a riot. Because if they control everything, and he's the person who is supposed to be in control, he's controlling everything. He's controlling the Republican Party.
No, who said the Republicans control everything? No, the Republicans are the minority power right now. The Democrats control everything.
Right now.
Yeah, and they control them when he was in office.
I'm talking about Arizona. I'm talking about
in Arizona.
Trump controls every single thing. But and they're trying to say, well, what do they say now when they lost by more than the 45,000 votes that Biden won by? He won by, he got another 864 votes.
Well,
so it's 45,864 votes.
Okay, did Trump won Maricopa, you're saying, right?
No, he lost Maricopa.
If he lost, okay.
That's the largest Democratic, he lost Maricopa. That's the largest Democratic stronghold.
Then if the,
Maricopa County.
Then the Republicans, what it seems logical, the Republicans would say, well, if our man lost, we would want an audit. But they didn't want an audit.
But they did do, they did three audits. This one was the fourth one.
They had recounts. This one was an audit. There's a difference between the recount. See, when you recount, you're only counting the same votes that came in the first time.
Right.
So when you have mail-in ballots, mail-in ballots that show that they're not real mail-in ballots, they can't be verified, they're not even creased, they came off of out of boxes from underneath desks.
But how do you know this? How do you know this? But how do you know that? Because that sounds like one of those fairy tales. How do you know this? They came out of boxes under desks.
They showed it in the video.
Were you there?
You have to there in order to see it.
I'd like to look at that.
Oh, okay.
Well, do you believe everything you see in the video?
Well, you can say that about anything. You can say that about history books, chemistry books.
If you ain't there, that's right. Well, if you believe,
then what are you going to believe?
Movie.
If what are you going to believe when a video, which is established by the polling center, has the video itself? It's been released. It's leaked.
Yeah.
What are you going to believe?
Right.
You can't believe.
If they had this video, how come they never showed it? I've seen parts of it.
You can. On YouTube.
Watch it. You see the whole thing.
No, I haven't. No, I didn't see the whole thing.
You didn't see it on Fox. They didn't show this video, Fox. I watch Fox all the time. They didn't show it on any of the Democratic channels.
Oh, the Democrats aren't going to show it. The Democrats opposed it.
Well, yeah, but why didn't the Republicans show it?
Republicans, Giuliani showed
it. Giuliani can't even talk anymore. How can you
Giuliani is drunk, he stutters and he stammers. When he's not drunk, he's a very effective lawyer.
Listen,
you should have heard him
in
the state legislature.
Listen, I'm from New York. I know Giuliani. I know Giuliani for years.
You met him?
The man is a... Yes, of course I met him. I was a Democratic Party in New York City. Listen, Giuliani, for years, nobody liked him. He just had the power to stay where he's at. He went from... The criminals in New York City and the gangs that he put away, he could not do the same. He's doing the same thing to Americans now that he did for them, and he actually broke the law putting these criminals away. He broke the law. And they're saying right now, he's doing the same thing to us as he did to the mafia.
What's he doing to us? He has no power to do anything to us except report what his clients say. He doesn't have the authority of a mayor anymore.
Oh, you can't tell that to Uncle Donald.
You can't tell it to who?
Did you? Uncle Donald.
Well, Donald, he and Giuliani go way back.
Of course they go way back.
And Giuliani is a... idolizes Trump, so it's good that Giuliani's his lawyer because he truly idolizes the guy. Anybody who can put on a dress and publicly make a fool of himself by fawning over Trump in that dress, he's got to idolize the guy.
Of course, listen, I see Giuliani in a dress on a stage in New York City doing a comedy act.
Oh, that's different. That's
him.
A comedy act.
So, yeah. Of course. But the problem is, this man got on TV drunk and trying to tell the American people what he has found and what he has done. And when 64 cases were presented to federal courts of what he found, and when he got there, they told him, "We don't have anything. We just want you to hear the
well." They
hear
told,
our
yeah, that's right. They told him they didn't want to hear it. They didn't tell him that the merits of his case were unsubstantial. They just told him he didn't have standing.
Well, wait a minute. He didn't have standing. Why would you have standing? What does that mean?
That's up to the court to decide why a person does or doesn't.
No. It's not. Hey, no, the law tells you if you have standing. It's not up to the courts. There is a law that tells you when you have standing. And the law tells you when you have standing is you have to have a problem. It has to hurt you
or hurt the law you represent
in a certain way.
The courts have to go by the law. The state legislatures and Congress, they make the laws, but it's always up. Well, it's not always up. Sometimes it's up to the discretion of the judge as to what they want to do with the law. At other times, it's mandated that they follow the law to the letter. When the judges said, we're not going to review your case, that doesn't mean that the case is lousy. It means that they are not going to take a look at it, and they give a reason such as you don't have standing. Now, you would have to believe...
There's no merit to what you're saying.
No, they'd have to review the case.
How did he not have standing, though?
To have standing in any particular case, you would have to be personally affected, usually in a case.
Absolutely right. How did he not have standing in 64 cases, though?
Well, if he doesn't have standing, then that's the loophole that they used. Again, it doesn't mean that the cases are not valid. When you have over how many thousands of affidavits?
It was 64 cases. There were 64 cases and 2 million affidavits in those 64 cases.
And they didn't take a look at them. So what does that tell you?
Because there was, what it tells me is that they did not have anything to, just like when you...
No, it's not that they don't have anything.
Car's not running. They didn't have anything. They didn't
have
anything.
You have to be presented in front of a judge. You have to have it adjudicated to find out if the case has merit. If they don't review the case, then they can't say whether or not the case has merit or not. But they can say whether or not they want to take a look at it, just like the Supreme Court has the option.
Right. Well, they're presented, their merit is presented in a document that they look at. If this document doesn't even go A, B, C, D, but goes A, F, Z, F, they don't have merit.
No.
And
if they take a look at the motion of the brief.
64 times, though. 64 times?
If you think
they didn't have merit?
You think then that the government is not that corrupt. You believe that somehow Giuliani, just because...
I understand. Listen, I know. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. This has nothing to do with the government being corrupt. I'm saying that 64 cases were presented. More than half of the judge... Wait a minute. 64 cases were presented, and more than half, I think it was like 60 or 70% of the judges were appointed by Mr. Donald J. Trump.
Well, they were appointed by them. It doesn't mean that they're his lapdogs. It doesn't mean that they're not supposed to do what they're supposed to do. But It also doesn't mean that they're not bribed or extorted or in any case coerced or somehow induced and seduced by money to do the wrong thing. If you believe that we don't have an epidemic of corruption in this country at the local level, at the state level, and in Congress, then you haven't done the research. Mm-hmm. There have been thousands of politicians, thousands who have been indicted publicly. Thousands.
Absolutely. Okay.
When you have those thousands.
I agree with you. I agree with what you're saying. And I'm not in every single state or every single city in the United States is big, but I understand, and it can be. You can be absolutely correct. But what I'm saying is I don't believe that 64 cases would have been thrown out of court, not even the judge see it, because they were so badly presented. Now, Giuliani didn't present all 64 cases, but that other nut job that he had, the woman who's now going to lose her law license, why do you lose your law license? You lose your
Powell
law license because you've done
license.
Something unethical. Huh?
Sidney Powell isn't losing her license. Giuliani
has his
license suspended, but he hasn't practiced.
And he's going to be gone.
Yeah,
he's
but
gonna be
why
gone
would
anyway.
That happen? And the reason given is because he's representing Trump, and Trump is being accused
of. It's not that. No, what he did was when he went over to Europe and presented a fiasco to the new president of Europe, and that came back because they were all lies that he said to this man. So there are a lot of things.
Okay, I like that. I didn't even, well, maybe I did read something like something of that magnitude. But the thing is that
absolutely.
When he went over to the Ukrainian president and he wanted to find out about corruption in that particular country, the Ukrainian president, from what I've read, substantiated what Giuliani was asking about. You see, there's always a slant.
Why he did that?
There's always a slant to the story, no matter which side you're looking on, the right side or the left side.
I cannot say that you are not right. There might be a slant to every single thing that goes down there. I agree with you 100%. But the problem is that 64 cases,
you
can't come up with a 64 times, there had to be one of those cases
not necessarily. If the corruption is that deeply entrenched, no. It's like there were 100 affidavits. How come the affidavits which were taken? And they weren't taken by drunks or homeless people. They were taken by IT people, former congressmen, teachers who had seen the corruption going on and the fraud going on. How come even when they were presented to 3 or 4 of the swing states, the state legislatures didn't do anything? Nothing. When you have an affidavit, that's legal evidence. Whether or not it's good evidence or bad evidence, that has to be reviewed by the court and defended by the attorneys. When it's not even gone to the courts, you have no conclusion.
So you're saying it didn't go to the courts because everybody in the courts that they presented it to were all...
When they presented to
crooks.
The 4 swing state legislatures, you better believe they were crooked. Right before the election was taking place, you see, the state legislatures, according to the Constitution, are the only ones that can change the laws that affect the voting for the presidential election. But the laws were changed not by them, but by the state's attorney general and there was the election board. They didn't have the authority to do that. And they did it about 4 weeks, 6 weeks prior to the election, allowing these mail-in ballots that we talked about earlier. Mail-in ballots are not an effective way of finding out.
Not an effective way of what?
Of finding out who, if the votes are fraudulent or good. when you have mail-in ballots, you have to inspect the signatures of each mail-in ballot. Firstly, they have to be mailed out to the correct person at the correct address. If they're not mailed out...
When you go to vote, do they check your signature? When you go to vote, do they check your signature?
Yeah.
When you go to vote?
Yeah.
Okay, they check mine too. So where are these places that they don't check their signatures?
Well, in all the swing states, they didn't check them.
Now, how do you know that? You live in a swing state?
No, but what I've read. Also, they've had people testifying to that. Now, again, we have to apply some sort of critical thinking to everything that we read. You are doing it in this way. You're saying 64 cases were not accepted for any type of adjudication by the courts. So you're saying there has to be at least one. I'm saying of the 7,000 affidavits that were accumulated, not one of them made an impact on the state legislature. So I'm using the same principle you are, but I'm going in the opposite direction. I'm saying there's got to be at least a few hundred that they got to take a look at and say these have merit, worth an investigation.
No, you said they got to take a look at. Well, you see, if you don't present enough information, either it's a couple of lines on the piece of paper that you give to these people, how can you blame anything? I mean, these people, then they need to get better lawyers. That I'm telling you that you know that Giuliani is being sued for $1,300,000, right?
He's being sued for something like $6 billion by Dominion.
No, $1,300,000. Is he refused to toss out the defamation suits against Powell, Giuliani, and Lydell? He refused to do it. Why did was he a criminal? A federal judge has rejected bid by three top promoters of President Donald Trump's election fraud claim to throw out defamation lawsuits they face over a slew of allegations, false statements they made about the election. Technology firm Dominion. Now he's going to lose his license just over this.
Well, he
they
shouldn't
lose
be.
Their license, pal.
Well, he shouldn't lose his license just over that because the case hasn't gone to court yet. Dominion has sued everybody, $6 billion.
Well, everybody's involved with it, right?
Yeah.
Right?
And yet
Absolutely.
It hasn't gone to court, but people are afraid. People are afraid of if it does go to court. Of the expenses involved with million-dollar lawyers, and of certain loopholes that could be taken advantage of, in which they might have to pay off some amount of that money, not the $6 billion. It's a costly affair. Also, since you're asking those particular questions, my question is, when they're supposed to keep the voting machines and the voting records for like 2 years, and Giuliani says, "Just take a look at the voting machines." See if they live up to my claim about their being able to flip the votes. Nobody did it. The Republican Party had to, in Maricopa County, send in lawyers. The Democrats sent in. There were over 100 lawyers on each side trying to find out, how can we defeat each other? You have to ask yourself. All you got to do is just open up the door.
Why
did
they
just
try the machines? So you're saying that the machines were not inspected before they were put in the do you know anything about these voting machines? I do because I was part of the Democratic Party in New York and where I'm at right now, North Carolina. They
so
do that.
You know about the Dominion machines? You know that they were hooked up to the internet?
No, they were not hooked up to the internet. Who said that? Where did you hear that from?
From Sidney Powell. Also
right, well,
from
Sidney Powell.
Also, besides Sidney Powell, they had done a real time in front of a state legislature from a person who said he could hack into the voting machines, and he did via the internet, real time.
Okay, why wasn't that presented to any of the judges?
It was.
You
it was
tell
presented
me they
in front
any...
of the state legislatures at the time. It wasn't done.
Forget the state legislature. You got to go in front of a judge. State legislature means nothing.
No.
Why
you don't always have to
go.
The state legislatures are the ones.
That awesome.
First off, Giuliani did go in front of judges, right? The 64 cases, they were thrown out, right? It was also presented to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court didn't want to take a look at it, but you had Thomas and somebody else dissenting with the majority opinion that they didn't want to take a look at the cases. People then misinterpreted that as saying that the cases had no merit. Supreme Court didn't take a look at the cases. They also didn't take a look at the supporting lawsuits by other states who said, well, you know what? If the states, the four swing states, are accused of and engaged in election fraud, that affects us. And the Supreme Court didn't want to take a look at it because they said they didn't have any standing. That's a nice legal loophole in saying, well, you know what? You're not affected now. You might be affected later, but until you actually bleed on the sidewalk, you don't have any standing. So I'm taking a look at this again. You know,
I'd like to know where you're reading this stuff. Yeah, first of all, I go back to so many stuff you presented that really, really stuff that's done by the internet.
You know what would be a good thing? I never been on your show before, but there's a show that I'll be back. When do you have your next show?
Every Friday.
Every Friday. Okay. Well, you're in luck because every Saturday I go to a show.
The last word. Every Saturday you go where?
I go to the show called Beyond the Mainstream. It lasts for 4 hours. Mm-hmm. 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You can come there because you present a different opinion than what we have. And it'd be interesting to find out, you know, your evidence versus our evidence in a 4-hour format.
Okay.
Called Beyond the Mainstream. I'll give you the phone number.
I'm writing this down now. Beyond the Mainstream.
Right.
Beyond Mainstream. The Mainstream. Okay. Go ahead.
It's 347.
Mm-hmm.
324. I think it's 347
what?
I think it's 324. 3752.
324.
Yeah, 3752. 3-2-4.
So it's not 347. It's not 347.
Yeah, no. It's 347.
Give me the
I'll look it up. It's going to take about 30 seconds.
Let me see.
347. It should be 324. Let's see. Where are you, Donnie? Yeah. 347-324-3752. That's 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
347-324-3752.
Right. All right, because you present better arguments as a liberal than 99% of the liberals that are on Block Talk Radio. So it'll be a good discussion, okay?
Well, yeah, I agree with that. But it comes on at 9 p.m.?
Yeah, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Okay. I only been in a few minutes. Cause I watched my Dodgers. I want them to win the pennant again. So I'm all blank. I just have my vodka with me and watch the Dodgers.
You must be an old New Yorker to be members of the Dodgers when they were in Brooklyn.
I'm an old New Yorker.
Yeah.
I've been following them since the day I was born. So, hey.
You must be a fan of them when they were in New York and Brooklyn.
Absolutely. Well, my father used to take me there. We lived close enough. If we would walk, it would take about 45 minutes, but we always take the bus, either one. If it was nice day, sometimes we would walk. Otherwise, we'd take the bus.
Right.
Take, get the bus, take you there, get you 15 minutes. Your presentation is far more presentable than the other nut jobs that call in here. Because, you know, at least you're presenting something. You're presenting something, at least that.
I'll be better armed if you come tomorrow, because then I'll have the evidence from my computer, and I can be able to show it even better with links and resources.
Okay, well, here's what I wanted to say. You cannot believe everything on the internet. I tell this to my daughter all the time. And she's on her, her head is bent over. She's walking bent over now because she's on her cell phone so much on the internet. That's how much she's, I said, what? She tells me all these weird stories. I said, look, don't believe, you don't even know, YouTube is made up by nut jobs. But I'm going on YouTube very shortly. But every one of my shows is going to go to YouTube. But the thing is that you can't really believe everything you see. Things can be manipulated. If you're not there in person, don't believe it. 90% of the time, don't believe it.
That can be said about anything. And if you say that about anything and everything,
well,
then you can't believe anything unless
you're there physically.
Mm-hmm.
And that's right. Unless you're there, because a magician can do a lot of tricks. But what I'm saying is that the votes were counted six ways from Sunday in Arizona. And you said, you're telling me that you read, because you weren't there, read that Trump won Arizona. He never got close to winning Arizona. He lost it by over 45,000 votes, as we know now.
But I also made a caveat that I wasn't quite sure, I believe.
I've been looking it up while we're talking.
Well, when you told me differently, I didn't dispute it because I wasn't quite sure.
Yeah, I know you didn't dispute it, but what I'm saying is that you can't prove it either because there's nothing that shows it anywhere. Nothing.
Nothing that shows what?
That he won Arizona.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, tomorrow there'll be statistical evidence that I'll be able to present by statisticians who say that when the votes were closed down and when Trump was ahead by a certain margin, then all of a sudden when the voting came back up again, that statistically it was impossible for Biden to win by the trajectory,
okay,
the speed, and the numbers that he won by.
Yeah, but
you're also saying the mini machines were not connected to the internet. It's part of their manual that they are connected to the internet.
Part of the internet that anybody can get into.
Well, it's not part of the manual that it can be hacked. Of course not. But when you're connected to the internet,
okay,
and you're connected to and you're sending the information out of our country to foreign countries, it makes you go,
Well, who said they're sending it out to foreign countries?
So you don't believe Sidney Powell either about that?
No, I don't believe her. No, she's going to be the first one that might go to jail. She lied so much, it's pathetic.
But why do you...
At least you're going to...
But why do you not believe her?
Because she was part of the people that presented this conspiracy to judges, and the judges said, get out of here. You didn't present nothing.
So that's your... All right, so that is your particular foundation, that the judges kept on saying no. Therefore, since the judges said no, it couldn't be true.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. Well, then we can talk about that tomorrow. We'll go deeper into that.
Okay. Now, I'm reading this now. This says, the claim in order conclusively shows voter fraud affected Arizona outcome. Okay. After 6 months, the results of the election audit in Arizona are in. President Joseph Biden won Arizona.
I know. I read the first page of the PDF.
Largest county, and now former president. Okay. Well, I don't know. It's just like Wikipedia. Wikipedia can be hacked. You put the information in Wikipedia. Anybody can put the information in Wikipedia. They didn't put the information when I died that I was 6'10". But that won't be true.
Well, look, I mean, if you're going to go there, I mean, any website can be hacked, no matter how secure it is. Even the Department of Defense can be hacked. The thing is that Wikipedia has their editors, and you can download Wikipedia. Now, if you download, let's say you're a Dodger fan, so you probably like Maury Wills. So if you download information about him, let's say last year, compared it to the Wikipedia that you've downloaded this year and find out that the Wikipedia is different, the information on both documents are different now, you can say that it's been hacked. Or maybe the editors got some other kind of information and rewrote it.
Well, the editors can't write everything in Wikipedia that anybody wants to put in. They don't have that many editors. So that's not going to happen.
Well,
they have
to have they do.
Millions of editors. Because everybody goes to Wikipedia.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, if you want to put something into an article that's already there, you can't just fill out a form and re-edit it. You have to submit the edit that you want to have done to the editors.
But they're not going to answer you. They might answer you in 6 months or a year. Because they
don't
have
that
many editors.
All right.
Well, hey, you know how many people go to Wikipedia? Hundreds of millions. They can't check
it. Yeah.
That's right. More than me, hundreds of millions. Because you can do this from over Europe, China. You can do this in Russia.
Yeah, but I don't know if you can just edit. And I don't know if hundreds of millions are going to say, you know what? Well, I know you can't edit. But I don't know if hundreds of millions are going to submit new information.
You can add. You can add to any Wikipedia that's there, you can add. My daughter...
you can add without confirmation?
That's right. You can add without confirmation. My daughter was the one I told you that looks in the computer, looks in the cell phone all the time. She showed me that it... No, it wasn't my daughter. I'm sorry. It was my grandson. He's the one that showed me. He's the one that showed me how it's done. I said, I can't believe it. Yeah. He said, you don't look at Wikipedia when you're looking up anything. You look up the Wikipedia, then look at the regular site and see if it says the same thing. And most of the time it will say the same thing, but you'll see stuff that was added.
Hmm.
So
was it added because
your
grandson is good at computers and hacked into it, or is it because anybody can just fill out a form that says add, and then it'll automatically be added?
He didn't do this. He showed me the difference in the regular site and the Wikipedia site. And the Wikipedia site had more stuff on it that wasn't in the regular site. It was almost contradictory to what the Wikipedia site was saying in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
They just add stuff to make, sometimes they add
stuff that's nonsense. Okay.
Sometimes they add stuff that they don't care.
What I'm saying is that I don't think, if I went to Wikipedia right now and I wanted to add something to any particular topic, I'm pretty sure that I wouldn't be able to add it in, and it would be added simply because I wanted to, simply because I filled out a form.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. Well, I didn't do it. So when he comes, maybe he's coming over here after school.
Okay.
I don't know. He's coming over here after school. I'm going to ask him, has he done it? And if he's done it, show me how you do it.
If you go to Wikipedia, and depending upon what kind of topic you're looking for, they will say at the top, this particular article needs to be verified.
Uh-huh.
If it didn't say that, then you would believe.
But how do they verify it, though? But how do they verify it? Because if you have 10 million people that want to edit something, there's not 10 million Wikipedia editors. I mean, it just can't be that many editors.
I don't think there's 10 million editors. But I doubt if... Wikipedia is larger than Encyclopedia Britannica in terms of popularity, so there would be probably hundreds of millions of people going there. So let's say even 1% of 100 million would be at least a million people wanting to add something.
Right.
They would need a huge staff, and I doubt if they actually have that huge a staff. Mm-hmm.
No. Well, I'm also looking at this thing about... what was said, I don't know if it was Giuliani, said the fake news, is lying about, wasn't Giuliani said it, the fake news is lying about Arizona audit report. The leaked report conclusively shows that there was enough fraudulent votes, mystery votes, fake votes to change the outcome of the election 4 or 5 times over. The number includes 23,344 mail-in ballots, despite the person no longer living at the address. And phantom votes. The official canvas does not even match who voted off 11,592. More than the entire presidential election, the voters who voted in multiple counties totaled 10,342, and 2,382 ballots came from people who no longer live in Maricopa County. There were 2,592 votes more, duplicate votes. Then they go on and say, just those fraudulent ballots alone was only 10,000 votes. In addition, the election data appears to have been intentionally deleted and ballot images were corrupt or missing. This not even the whole state of Arizona, but Maricopa County. It would only get worse. There is fraudulent and cheating in Arizona and must criminally investigate. More is coming out legally tomorrow. Now, this is what Giuliani and his crew is putting out. There's no proof of none of that. There's no proof of any of that. And that's problem. The old saying is that you put a lie out and it'll fly around the world 45 times before the real message will get there.
Yeah, before the truth actually takes its pants off. Yeah.
Absolutely.
In what you were reading about what Giuliani had said, he didn't cite any type of resource?
No.
No?
No. Okay. They just did it. So you're just saying things that don't make it true.
I agree with you on that. That's what we talk about and say all the time, especially myself, that I've always advocated for critical thinking, taking a look at whatever you're looking at and trying to find out what the real resources are.
Absolutely. Well, when I taught school, I created a program called Media Literacy, involved with critical thinking and critical understanding and critical speaking. Mm-hmm. If you can't think critically, my mother was fabulous. I mean, she didn't go to college until late, but she taught. We had a TV in 1947.
One of the first ones, yeah.
I didn't know
black
was
and
going
white,
on, but
probably
was,
DuPont.
Right.
Or Dumont, yeah.
Right. No, it was an RCA. We had an RCA.
Hmm.
And she would show me and taught me the commercials. That's the first thing she said. She said, you look at these commercials. They're trying to get you to come in to buy what they're selling. I said, what's different than that in the TV show? Well, the TV show, they're not selling you. They're telling you a story. The commercials are telling you a story that you like. They're showing, right now I'm looking at a TV show and TV commercial with Progressive, and it's showing, they're at an auto dealer and they're showing balloons coming down and blowing horns, and they're talking about Progressive. Well, Progressive, is they sell insurance for cars.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole thing is about glitz. Glitz is what sells. And I never forgot that when she told me that. And it's absolutely correct. You could be lying your butt off. But if you lie your butt off with a smile, and you could get more people to go into that than you can just by telling them straight talk. People don't want to listen to straight talk. They want to hear glitz. They want to hear something spectacular. They want to hear something, well, you found this out about this guy. They don't want to hear the truth, and that's the problem.
They have tremendous amounts of confirmation bias. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. But people want to, if they're sitting, when you go into the movies, why do you go to the movies? You go to the movies because it's a chance to escape. You want to be the guy, the hero that goes into the jungle and finds the diamond that's 14 inches across. You want to be that guy that marries the gorgeous girl and has all the money. You want to be that guy. When you're walking down the street, you're not thinking like that. You come out of the movie theater.
Oops.
I just go to the movie, Buster Crab. You know, remember Buster Crab?
Oh yeah, he was Flash Gordon and Tarzan. Yeah.
That's right. He was Flash Gordon. He was Tarzan, right? I always thought, but he was also, when he was Flash Gordon, I used to swear. I'd go to sleep, and I would think that I was Flash Gordon in my dreams.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what they're trying to sell you. They want you to get they want you to escape. They want an escapism for you. And TV has become, you get bigger, 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 bigger TVs. Why? Because it's just like the movies now. It's just like the movies. You can escape. Have a drink in your private room. Escape.
Sure.
But here's the, and that's what these politicians do now. They know what escape is.
Well, why do you think people keep voting for the politicians with the most hair and the prettiest girl? The promises are always the same, but they're never upheld. They're always broken once they get into office. Yeah.
I agree with you 100%. That's absolutely correct. Why do we always go? Because we want to escape. We want them, this person, I know since I can't escape, look what he has. I'm sure he can do better for me. Then I even listen to what he's saying. Then I listen. That's like with the, and I hate to bring up this clown, Hitler. Hitler was an escapism. Everything he was saying was a lie. Every single thing. But he yelled and rant and raved about it.
Hitler
got involved. Hitler.
Oh, Hitler. Yeah, well, Hitler was the greatest orator in the 20th century. I never understood a word he said. But when you saw him up there, Trump was never good at speaking. He was always considered, a verbal idiot.
But the problem is, why did people captivate towards him? Why do they go and say, I got to be there. I got to be there. They go to rallies. He doesn't say anything for an hour. He doesn't, but he has them all mesmerized. Why? I mean, he's not saying anything that he's going to help you or anything.
He made campaign promises, and he satisfied a lot of them without the support of the Republican Party and definitely with more resistance from the Democratic Party. So his promises.
He had plenty of support from the Republican Party. That was their man.
No, it
they
wasn't.
Because they had no other.
No.
Well, who was their man?
Nobody.
Who was their man?
When he got elected, they opposed him for the first 2 years. And like I said, after they found out that his base was solid, he was getting very popular, and his poll numbers didn't go down the way that they hoped that they would. They then became.
But they were never up. He never reached the poll numbers of any other president we ever had. He's in last place. I'm not talking about the guys that died in office. Forget them. I'm not talking about them. But the problem is he never said anything that he could say wasn't going to help him. Everything he said,
like what? When he said he was going to shore up the borders, that was helping America.
That's not money wise. Anything he said, money wise, he lied about. If he said he was going to do it to help himself.
You're talking about the economy?
Everything he did, anything with money. Anything with money. Anything that he said that had to do with money. Anything he said that had to do with money, it also helped him. He wasn't going to do it if it wasn't going to help him.
And how do you know that? For example, when unemployment rate went down for Hispanics, blacks, whites, and women, how did that help him?
All right. Because he has more people that can work for him. What happened to my phone? He has more people. Hold on a minute. I'm up. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
Just lost you.
Were you watching the Dodgers at the same time?
Can you hear me?
In terms of his poll
number,
he surpassed Obama.
Hey, hold on. I lost what you were saying for the last minute. My volume went down, so I'm sorry. Oh. I didn't hear a word you said.
Oh, okay. You were talking about how he, money-wise, wouldn't do anything unless it helped him. So then I said,
absolutely,
when the unemployment rate for blacks, whites, Hispanics, and women went down to record lows, how did that help him personally, other than to get him reelected?
Because every place that he had people working after that, he didn't have to pay him nothing, hardly. Nothing. None of his people were getting the federal wage at any of his places. And you got to remember that most of these places, they're using his name. He don't own those places.
He licenses his name. Yeah, that's how he makes money now, is by a vast majority of his money coming in is because he licenses his name. That's a legitimate business operation.
Right, but they're not doing that. They're taking his name. They're taking his name off those places now. They took him off three places
already. Now, yeah, because once he got out and they started checking him and saying we were going to get him on criminal charges, civil charges, they also tried to impeach him when he got out of office. That's how badly they want him. How do you impeach somebody who's not a president anymore?
You can't. You can't impeach somebody who's out of office.
Right.
So that's, sure. Anybody said that, ludicrous. Anybody says that is lying. They don't know what they're talking about. They're just trying to get another grifter. And he's been a grifter his whole entire life, him and his father. His father was the number one grifter. I mean, his grandfather was the one who was running the biggest cat house in Canada, so they threw him out of Canada. That's how he got to New York. Then he went back to Germany. And when they said, look, you don't have to be joining the German army to fight World War One. Hey, just give us some money. You got money, and we'll take that. He said, hell no, I'm not even giving anybody money. And he left and came back to the United States.
You know, it's going to be a good idea, because I've recommended this to people when I've had discussions with them. I said, I'd debate anybody on any topic that I want to engage them with. But we have to have the documents in front of us so that we can point to the sources that we got them from. So when you come on tomorrow, do you have any particular topic in mind? Just jump Trump in general or anything? Because then I want to get my documents, get them together, and compare mine with what you've got in front of you.
Okay. We talk about Trump and Giuliani and Powell, Sidney Powell. You know about that whole crew there.
Okay, cool. All right. Now I'm going to have to get up.
So, at 9 o'clock at night?
Yeah, 9 o'clock, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Saturday.
I'm not going to be able to talk over a half hour. I'm not going to be able to talk over a half hour because my Dodgers are going to be on. I got to watch them.
Okay, not a problem. As a matter of fact, like I said, we're on for 4 hours. So if you can call anytime you call in before 11, you'll be able to get on.
Right.
Just like your show.
Gotcha.
And then after 11, we'll be on until about 2 a.m. in the morning, and we can talk about it then when your Dodgers win or lose.
My Dodgers going to win or lose. Hey, no, we can't say that.
They're going to have to win or lose.
Well,
right.
I could be like Trump. I won, even though they lost.
If you want to say that, that'll be interesting.
Okay, fine. What is your name? I don't have your name. What's your name?
My name is Joe.
Okay, Joe. And I am Michael Lawson, and I'm going to call you. I'm supposed to be going out with my wife because her birthday's today, but she's giving shots out.
Happy birthday to her.
So she's a retired nurse. Yeah, she's giving shots out. She's a retired RN, and they call her in.
We talk about the vaccine, too. That ought to be interesting.
Oh, yeah, we can talk about that.
Do you believe in the vaccine or not?
Absolutely. I just got my booster yesterday.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have fun with you.
All right, so you don't believe the vaccines, huh?
Oh, hell no.
Okay.
The sources are Nobel Prize winner. who says don't take it.
Uh-huh.
Two defectors from Pfizer say don't take it. Two defectors from the FDA say don't give it to children. So we're going to have fun.
Okay. All right. Now two out of how many?
Oh, boy. You want to parse words and really
like
go
saying,
down the rabbit, go into the weeds? It doesn't matter how many.
No.
It matters if they're whistleblowers.
Yeah, but they're whistleblowers, but what they're blowing don't have to be true.
But if they're high up enough in the organization to know what's going on, it's not as though they're the janitors who are saying it.
It still don't have to be true, but they could be lying to get back at somebody.
They could be, but then how are you? How do you know that they're not?
Okay, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at, I saw a video, I was going, and you took up all my show, so I couldn't do it. But the thing is that there is this guy named Joe Rogan or something. He's on one of these,
right, I know
on one of these shows.
I don't know him personally, but
comedian.
I know
okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, he said that some people, why would they give the President of the United States a shot on TV? I believe that was a fake shot, and he got nothing. He said, "Why would you give it to a president? Because he could die, he could vomit, he could pass out, he could have pain." Yeah, but nobody's got that already. Nobody has passed out.
There have been,
but you see, they can't name the person, and they can't show you anything on video that proves it.
Even if they did, you would take a look at the video and you'd say, well, how do you know the video is true?
No, you're absolutely correct, but the problem is they can't show the video. They prove what they're saying. Let me tell you, I got all three shots. I got my booster yesterday. I came on and did my show. Didn't I have a headache, didn't have a pain in the arm, didn't have nothing.
And there have been over 24,000 people who have died there. There have been the VAERS website, which has been modified by the CDC. They've also had a lot of complaints about the adverse reactions to the vaccine on VAERS. So that you can check up to.
Right.
I also have
now,
a good document.
Okay. Do you know that when they had the measles shots and the rubella shots and that you have to get when you go to school... Everybody got them, or you couldn't go to school in the United States. Everybody got them. Why are they now afraid of this?
Trump. Am I off?
No, okay. I'm still there. Because Trump talked them into saying that. That's the only reason why he did it. There's no reason why these people or you can say you can only quote other sources that got it from other sources. And
no, I can quote the
sources,
like I said, Nobel Prize winner for medicine.
For what?
Another Nobel Prize winner for bioweapons. He was also inside the government doing bioweapons
Okay,
for
but this
the government.
Is not a bioweapon. But this is not a bioweapon.
You can believe that it's not, but the person who was inside the government, okay, says that it is. Again, there are two upper officials. A bioweapon, right.
Okay, then. So now I am a bioweapon then because I got all three shots. So what am I supposed to do? Now pass out and go shoot the governor? What am I supposed
eventually,
to do?
Well,
or am I waiting?
If what they say is true, you're going to experience a lot of sickness. And it won't be long
okay.
either.
It won't.
It won't
all
be
right.
long.
When am I supposed to stop?
You are going to get out of the
year?
If, huh? What
it
are you going to experience? I guess
year.
It depends upon the body, but you will experience sickness, nausea. You will not feel good for a long, long time, and there are people who say that those who do take the vaccine and the boosters afterwards are going to die. Now, you could call that
those
a conspiracy
that say
theory.
That.
Huh?
Okay, but wait a minute. We have over 700,000 who And out of that group, 95% never were vaccinated. They did not.
You have a group of 95%.
They did die. Over 7,000 now that did die because 7, they got it and they never had the vaccine.
Wait a minute. You're saying
90% of 700,000 is 630,000.
Okay. And, right.
They never got the shot and they died. So you're saying that I'm going to be just like
but
that.
But if you got, if you have 700,000 and you have 70,000 who have died, that by itself is a huge, 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 huge warning flag, especially when the FDA, when you've had companies going for vaccines before, if they've had even as little as 20 deaths, they've scrapped the entire project. They scrapped it to go and find a new method for the vaccine or a new vaccine. When you have that, which is supposed to be under the kind of scrutiny of the FDA, and the FDA says, get it out of here, but you have thousands of deaths now of people taking the vaccine, and they're not saying anything about it except for the whistleblowers, that doesn't make you go,
But the people, I'm talking about the 700,000 that died, over 90% never had the vaccine, never took it. They died. There are a few people that
You're talking
had,
about dying from COVID?
Yes, dying from COVID.
Okay, are you going to say also that there's no such thing as an incentive by the government to pay the doctors to label death as COVID when they didn't die from COVID?
Okay, yeah, but I don't think they're paying them, but there could be a definite problem with the number, but it ain't going to be no 100,000.
It's not going to be
50,000. Right. Will be 10,000. Well, just like when we got the daggone polio vaccine. How do we, you were injected. Did you get the polio vaccine when you were growing up?
I probably got it.
Sure you got it. Okay, that was the real polio germ that they put into you. This, what they're giving us, is not the actual.
Right, they can't even, the sequencing process is off. They can't find and isolate the so-called COVID virus. So what they're putting into you is not a living it's not an antibody, it's a
That's
pathogen
right.
in order to stimulate the antibodies. Now, you're going to believe one side that says that this is all nice and true. I'm believing the other side that says that nanotechnology could be injected into us. I also like to err on the side of caution, where, again, if you're going to scrap after 20 deaths a vaccine, then you have to scrap after 20 deaths when it's approved and people are dying. You can't continue this is good.
But who are these people that died? Who are these people that died taking this vaccine? You're saying there's thousands and thousands of people that
died? There's over 24,000 people who have died. Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, we got something to talk about because I'm on the internet all the time. I've never heard of that.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Here's a suggestion: when you come in tomorrow, if you got to watch the Dodgers, make sure you come in before 11. Let us know you're there.
It'd be 9 o'clock.
No, we'll start at 9 o'clock, but you have to be there. Just like your show. Your show starts when?
3 o'clock.
Okay, and it's going, and it goes before archive, I presume, until 5, right?
Yes.
Okay, so anybody who calls your show, see, we're in archive now? No, not quite.
Well, I'm
but
always
you
archived.
Could be.
I'm always archived.
Yeah. No, you're
it's archiving while we're doing the show.
Well, yeah, but... You're at 4:47 Eastern Standard Time. The show, theoretically, can go off the air at 5 o'clock. You're from 3 to 5. But if you wanted to, you can go another hour for free. That would be the archived portion. Of course, every part of it is being archived, but the after-hours part of the show comes after 5 o'clock on your show. But if somebody calls in before 5 o'clock, they can stay on the air. It's like if you go now beyond 5 o'clock, I'm going to be on the air with, not on the air, but I'm going to be on the show with you until 6 o'clock. And that 6 o'clock portion will be part of the downloaded archive.
Oh, you lost me. You're telling me
here's what I'm saying.
My show
is archived
after I'm finished.
You go from 3 to 5, right. Now at 5 o'clock,
yes, right.
You don't have to go off the air. You can stay on the air.
Yes, I do. They cut me off. The show's cut off at 5 o'clock.
If they do that, then
they,
I would...
They say, thank you.
Yeah, I hate that Australian voice. But I think maybe you might be able to... Okay, if they don't give you the hour, I'm surprised, because all other shows I know that are on for 2 hours can automatically go another hour without any problem.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well,
I would call
I'm going
up,
on...
I would call a BTR and find out about that. Because if you're paying the same amount of money as everybody else, but they're not giving you the hour of the after show, then there's something, maybe there's a setting that you have to do inside your studio that might allow that. I'm not sure.
Well, I will look that up.
But here's what I mean by our show. By any show that has what I was talking about. If you call in before 11 o'clock, you can stay on until 2 a.m. in the morning, because our show officially goes off at 11. But from 11 to 12, that there's an hour of free of the after show time, which is part of the download. If somebody wanted to download our show, they would get 3 hours instead of two hours. But if you call them before 11, you can stay on for 4 hours. Sometimes you go even 5 hours. Just as long as you call in before the show officially ends. If you call in after 11, nothing.
Right.
You won't be able to get on.
I'll still have, I'll still be connected with Skype, but the show will not be recording what I'm doing. I probably could stay on longer.
Well, I would suggest wait until 5, see what happens. And maybe if the Australian girl comes in, then we, then you and I will both have to go off the air.
Thank you for listening to. Listening to Blog Talk.
Yeah, and I don't like her accent. I can barely tolerate her when she says, "Thank you for contacting Blog Talk Radio. Please stay on, and you'll be connected to the show." I can barely tolerate that.
Right. I've never heard that because I've never called in, so I don't know.
That's what she said. Yeah, anytime you call into any show, it's always the same. It's polite, but I don't like accents. So hers is, thank you for calling Block Talk Radio, yada yada, and then at the end,
Are you from New York? Are you from New York?
Montana.
You're from Montana, and that's the way you talk in Montana, like you talk, really?
Why? What's wrong with the way I talk?
Because you sound like you could be from Brooklyn.
Oh, really? Huh?
You sound like you could be from Brooklyn. But we have a I'm going to go and see if I can do that. But see, the thing is, at 5 o'clock, Skype is still up, so I'm still connecting with you, but I don't know if it's going out over the air. I don't think it's going out over the air where it can be recorded.
If we're still connected after 5 o'clock, if the if that voice doesn't come on, we are not going out over the air.
Oh, will come on. It will come on.
Okay.
It will come on and say, thank you for listening to Block Talk Radio. Goodbye. Boom, cut off.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I would contact them and find out how come you're not getting that extra hour than other people with two-hour shows are getting that extra hour.
What is the hour? What's the extra hour? What is that extra hour for?
Are you an hour show or two-hour show?
2 hours.
Yeah, 2 hours. So you're from 3 to 5. Okay, so that's when the voice comes on.
Right.
So when you have a two-hour show, you should have an extra hour of after-hour time, an extra hour, which will be part of the download. If somebody wants to download your show, they should get 3 hours' worth of people making comments.
Oh, I didn't know. Yeah. Okay, then why do they give you? Why do they say you get 3 hours?
Because the extra hour doesn't come across the air. It's only you only hear that extra hour when you download it.
Oh, really?
So if somebody downloaded your show and we were able to stay on the air, they would get the entire show from 3 to 6 p.m.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh, because I have my music that I play after she says that. I say, all right, everybody, goodbye, blah, 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 whatever I'm going to say. And I play my music, and then I cut myself off from Skype.
Okay.
So you're saying don't do that. You still got 3 hours, huh?
Yeah, don't do it. See what happens. Because I don't have a show other than a half-hour free show. I don't pay to get on Black Talk Radio for an hour or 2 hours. A friend of mine gave me her show.
Right, okay.
So I have that.
Right.
But I do know I go to a bunch of Block Talk radio shows, and I'm on, we call it archive time, we call it after hours time. We go into overtime, we call that overtime as well, plenty of times. Been doing it for years.
I did not know that. Well, we'll stay on another half hour. I got to get my wife's birthday present all wrapped before she gets in here. So we'll stay on a half hour after 5 o'clock. And I did not know this.
If she comes in, then she might automatically terminate the show. Automatically. I don't know that.
She's not going to terminate it. My wife, you mean the Australian
chick? I'm talking
lady.
About the Australian chick, yeah.
Oh, no. When 5 o'clock comes on, she says, thank you for listening to Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye. And then Blog Talk Radio is cut off.
Okay. But you're saying
the
you also...
The people who I was talking to, until I say goodbye to them, I'm still talking to them.
You do that. You do know that you're saying you do that. So even
I got 4 minutes and 8 seconds left before the show ends
now. So you're saying if she comes on and says bye, but you still want to talk to, you still have been able to talk to people.
Right. I can still talk to people. But because I talk to them by Skype. But I don't know if that's being recorded in the after hour show.
It should be recorded. And it should be recorded. I mean, if you're able to talk to them, even if the chick says bye-bye, then that portion, whatever conversation ensues after that, is part of the download.
Okay. I did not know that. I did not. I thought you were cut off, period. And then I cut off Skype, so I don't talk to the people anymore. And I close out.
So we'll try it. So after the girl says bye-bye, I'll hang on. We can talk for 5 minutes or so. Yeah. We'll talk for 5 minutes or so, or 10 minutes, and then you'll be able to...
Okay.
Then you go back and download your show, and you'll find out that the conversation after your show officially ended still continued and was able to be heard via the download. Now, anybody listening in after 5 o'clock will not hear us talk.
Oh, so I can't get any more calls into my...
Right.
But right, plus the show is down. Okay,
right.
Now suppose I give them the call-in number.
You mean your call-in number or our caller's call-in number?
Yeah, the call-in number.
No, nobody. Nobody can call in after 5 o'clock.
Okay, so it's just
that's what I'm saying. You have
to
be on your show before 5 and our show before 11.
I got
you. You have to call in before 11. And you can just leave your phone on, you know, and go watch the Dodgers, and you can come back at 2 o'clock and the phone, and you still be connected.
Did not know that. That's a good thing to know.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll see. We've got another minute and 53 seconds. Because you stole my show. I didn't get 90% of my stuff done today. So,
oh, good.
All right. Okay, I just heard it in the headphones, 90 seconds. Okay,
hey, well,
everybody, have a great
weekend.
And I'm here with Joe, and he has been a great guest today.
Thank you.
I just want to make that people understand that there's more than one way to talk to your person that doesn't agree with you. There's more than one way, because there's always something you have in common. Always something.
Yeah, so you've got these
and
conservatives. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay, there are a lot of things we were going to talk about. We got Steve Schmidt we were going to talk about, and we got the interview with Josh Marshall and Juanita Tolliver, and there is a few other things I wanted to talk about. But, Joe, we're getting ready. We've got another 49 seconds. She's going to interview. I don't know if you can hear. I know I can hear.
Oh, I hear.
So,
I hear.
You do? Okay. Well, there are a few things I just wanted to talk about on the today. And
we can bring
11,
them up tomorrow. We always have an open forum. So you can bring them up tomorrow.
Well, I mean, should I call in at 9 o'clock?
No, like I said, anytime between 9 and 11.
Okay, gotcha.
So let's say
okay.
You call in, right?
All right.
Let's say you call in at 9:30.
Yeah.
Now you want to watch the Dodgers.
Right.
You just say, because his name is Donnie. He's the owner of the show. You say, hey, Donnie.
Right.
I'm gonna keep my phone
okay.
on.
The show is over.
Huh?
The show is over. They took me, they stopped the printout. So, hey, well, we'll talk another 10 minutes and see.
Yeah.
Because I still got you live here, but all my end episode just came up, and
well, that's
we'll just
okay.
see how
that
works.
From what I understand, that happens. So what happened, you can call in, let's say 9:30, you want to watch the Dodgers, you say, hey, Donnie,
okay.
I'm going to put myself on hold, and I'll be back in 2 hours.
Right.
You say, okay, no problem. You go watch the Dodgers, you come back, and you can participate in the show after 11 o'clock. And you'll be part of the download. Nobody will hear you after 11.
Yeah. Right,
but if
right.
they download
okay,
the
right,
show,
I
they'll hear you.
Yeah. Ah, okay. The Dodgers don't come on until 9:45, 10 o'clock. So
okay.
let me see, make sure. The Dodgers and the Giants
right.
come on at 9:45. I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah.
And see, they come on with a plane. At. Let's see here.
The only Giants
the
I ever
Dodgers.
Liked were in football, not baseball.
Oh, no, but my father's brother, my uncle, lived across the street from him. He liked the Giants, too. I was, when I started watching football, first I got a football for Christmas. It was a Johnny Unitas football.
He's my
and
favorite
that's why
player
I never,
from the Baltimore
he's
Coast.
He's my favorite player of all time.
Are you
Absolutely.
Kidding me? That guy, he used to call
that's
his own plays. That's
absolutely.
A throwback. He, yeah.
Absolutely.
And
Johnny
played,
Unitas.
Yeah.
Johnny
he used to play Sandlot,
okay.
Sandlot football, and then he was a walk-on.
That's right. He was a walk-on. That's right. In Pittsburgh, he was in Pittsburgh, walk-on, and then they just, hey, we got you. And he played Sandlot. I mean,
yeah.
he was no guy from a college or anything. So, oh, yeah, he's from the Ohio State. No, he was from the Sandlot of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
That's what I said. I said he played Sandlot. And then he was a walk-on, and then he developed the skills even more. And then and then as far as I'm concerned, he was the best quarterback until Montana came along. And then Brady,
you know,
and then,
the thing, but see, mm-hmm. but see, the thing is that he could have done all that, but they did not have the play. They didn't have the imagination back then to form football teams that could do this. Like, you need a right tackle that can do this. You need a left tackle that can do this. You need a center that can do this. Every one of these guys are specialists now. Every one of them. They can't move to the left. Okay, so we'll
right.
put this guy at the right guard. This right guard, he can't move to his right, so we'll put him on the left. Left guard. I mean, they have specialties now. So every single thing is a specialty. I forgot the name of the former the former owner of the Oakland Athletics. He hired, and I can't remember his name, I don't know why, he hired a guy, a black guy, who's an outfielder, but he hired him only for one thing, to run bases. He was the fastest guy in the world. He could run and steal bases. But, you know, if you can't hit, you can't get on the
base.
Yeah,
I was about to say, if you don't get on base, what good are you?
That's right. So they put every time there was a pitcher on base and they needed a run, he was the guy who was going to run. He hired him just for that. And so the specialties are now built in to all these sports athletes, and there are specialists, same thing, that were put in to run politics. Same way. Everybody's got the same idea because everybody wants – they got to figure out a way to win. They got to figure out, and you know, you got all these parents that sit out there at their kids at football games or baseball games, and they go crazy, yell at the coach, "Oh, you're dumb idiot! Why don't you have him do this?" Listen, you know, if you want to be the manager of a football team or coach, you need to come down here and do it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stand it. I played baseball my entire life. My father, not one time did he ever get up and yell at a coach. Not one time. He went there
and
played baseball.
Oh, man, you played baseball. Don't bring up baseball tomorrow because Donnie is – he played – he won MVP in not the minor leagues, but in another league. He loves baseball. He can talk to you for 6 hours straight. He'll talk to you about anything. Oh, good God.
I made the New York Mets when they were forming the – Eddie Cranepool – and Rico Petrocelli and I
back in 69?
All from
No,
62. 62,
huh?
62 or 65. I graduated 62. And we're talking about Eddie Cranepool and Rico Petrocelli were fabulous hitters.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie Cranepool could not run and he was first baseman, but Rico Petrocelli could play every position in the infield and outfield. He could pitch too. And he hit more home runs than anybody in the league at the time in high school.
Yeah.
In high school.
Oh,
and I couldn't. I don't understand why I got a scholarship. I got a half scholarship. You know, New York at that time they only gave out 2.5 scholarships for baseball. They give scholarships to football, basketball, everything else because that would bring in money.
Right.
Baseball, you go and you gave $3.50 to get into a game. So people, it wasn't looked at like that. So now, I was at my I just had 2 knee operations. I just had my left knee, and it was horrible. I had my right knee done. I was out coaching and helping my grandson to field and catch and pitch.
Right.
For when I after 5 weeks, but when I left knee done, I just had it done. April the 5th, I had just started walking normally. Without pain, just now.
Right.
Just out of what? I got 6 blood clots in my leg.
Jeez.
And they had. I now have to take Eliquis to get rid of the blood clots. But the thing is that the pain was severe. And I told my doctor, "You didn't tell me this was going to be like that. Well, if I did, you wouldn't have even got the operation. You needed it." I said, man, so both knees are done.
Yeah, well, doctors like politicians. You know when they're lying because their lips are moving.
I had my first grandson. My daughter was taking him to the baseball game. I said, "No, I'm going to go this time." So my first time at a baseball game in almost 2 years because I had this bad knee, and because of COVID, they didn't have it. So I was all right, and I was standing up. Getting up is a problem. Still a problem. It was a problem before I had the knee. It's still a problem. Now, they're sore now. They're not. They don't hurt.
Right.
They're sore. Both of them sore. Anyway, this one kid, they were getting out of the field, and my grandson told me, he said, you know, he's never played baseball before. I said, really? What's he up at this level for? Because my grandson's playing, what do you call, what league is he in?
Triple A, Double A.
No, he's in the... He's a kid. He's only 13. He's playing.
Little League.
Oh God.
Yeah.
He's in Little League, but
Pee Wee. Pee Wee football.
No, you're Pee Wee football. He's in AAU. Anyway, so see, I said, well, why? He never played before. Why is he playing with you guys? I said, why are you playing in this league now? If you never played football before, you need to go and start hitting the ball off a tee or something. He said, I'm too old for that now. He said, but my mother wants me to do that. I said, well, your mother wants you to do it. Don't you want to do it? He said, well, yeah, I play football, but she wants me to do this so you make more money in baseball. I said, well, you ain't making any money in AAU.
And yeah, AAU was there, well, really the recruiting center for
And the thing is that while he was there playing, his mother was on the computer, on her laptop, and never looked up one time at the game.
Oh, geez.
So, we got it's outrageous. I said, and he cannot play. We had him out in the coach had him out in the outfield, left field, and luckily no balls were hit out to him.
Oh, poor
kid. Thing is that he did not. And when he got up at bat, he did not. He knew how to hold the bat in his hand, but he didn't know what to do.
The
bat, but he got. Yeah. Oh, you get me? It was pitiful. I really felt sorry for him. I said, look, don't worry about this. You start looking at some games. You look at games on TV. No, he said, look, now it's the pennant. This is the question. This is the time to look at some games. Look at how they play. Look how they bend down. I said, I can't show you. I have a knee. Just my knee, but I can't bend.
Oh, did we get disconnected? Seems like it. Okay.
One of the reticence of the court, the thing that Barbara McQuaid was talking about earlier, generally serves the court well. So I think for people like me who kind of, are bread and butter in the Supreme Court, we're watching this with some, concern.
Fatima, I want to come back to, again, the Texas near total ban on abortions. And I would like to remind people where the American people are on this issue. 54% of all Americans think abortion should be legal all most of the time. Just 34% think it should be illegal with exceptions like for rape or incest. And only 8% of the American people believe in what Texas has done to make abortion illegal without exceptions, albeit after 6 weeks, which in Texas, 85% of abortions performed it.
as a result of this. So this is like a really weird time at the Supreme Court. And then, of course, you've got all of this hoopla around public statements of the justices that you and Maya were talking about earlier.
Not the specificity of what he said, but how outside the norm is it for anyone on the High Court to make comments about the congressional and media moment?
Yeah, it's definitely unusual what's happened, and I would say, you know, it hasn't always happened on one side. I think Justice Ginsburg made some comments I felt like were unfortunate. You know, she was the most impeding justice, but, you know, I do think, you know, one of the reticence of the court, the thing that Barbara McQuaid was talking about earlier, generally serves the court well. So I think for people like me who kind of, you know, are bread and butter as the Supreme Court, you know, we're watching this with some, you know, concern.
Fatima, I want to come back to, again, the Texas near total ban on abortions. And I always like to remind people where the American people are on this issue. 54% of all Americans think abortion should be legal all or most of the time. Just 34% think it should be illegal with exceptions like for rape or incest. And only 8% of the American people believe in what Texas has done to make abortion illegal without exceptions, albeit after 6 weeks, which in Texas, 85% of abortions performed in Texas happen after that 6 weeks of gestation, which is usually about 4 weeks. I wonder if you can speak to what has been awoken in the country. There are women's marches all over, including in D.C., and clearly, as I'll use Maya's word, a very triggered Supreme Court justice.
Yeah, the Texas law has ignited people in this country. It's awakened people to the fact that our ability to control our own bodies, to determine our lives and our futures, that it is not what we thought it was. And tomorrow there will be actions all over the country where people are coming together. They will be rallying and marching and gathering in every state in this country and over 650 events, and this is really just the beginning, because if day 31 of abortion effectively being banned in Texas, but the Supreme Court is also hearing arguments in the Mississippi 15-week abortion ban case on December 1st, and it all feels perilous. We are at a new phase in the conversation and the fight to protect and expand abortion access in this country.
Fatima, Michelle Goldberg writes in the New York Times, I think the question that keeps a lot of people up at night, she asks us, are we too burned out to defend Roe versus Wade? What's happening in Texas, not just the broad abortion ban, but the demented system of enforcing it through bounties collected by private citizens, maybe almost inconceivably dystopian, but after the unceasing emergencies of the last few years, maintaining an appropriate level of outrage has become a challenge. Part of the purpose of the protest Saturday is not just to register anger with the Supreme Court is allowed to happen in Texas, but to get ready for what's on the way. We're talking about a march this weekend, and that's important, but the real work is going to come quietly and probably out of view for most people. We're looking to build capacity and momentum, and I think that's really important in the fight to come. That's Rachel O'Leary Carmona, the executive director of the Women's March. Just talk about what Michelle's writing about, the fight that maybe won't be broadcast on the news tomorrow.
Well, even as the marches, they are centering people who have had abortions, they're centering providers, people who are on the ground right now without the access. You know, the Supreme Court basically banned abortion for 1 in 10 people of women of reproductive age in this country. And I don't know that we fully understand the reality of that. And so hearing those stories is going to be important. Hearing what this is like for people who are not able to break together.
Burned out.
Thank you.
is too burned out to defend Roe versus Wade. What's happening in Texas, not just the broad abortion ban, but the demented... system of enforcing it through bounties collected by private citizens, maybe almost inconceivably dystopian, but after the unceasing emergencies of the last 2 years, maintaining an appropriate level of outrage has become a challenge. Part of the purpose of the protest Saturday is not just to register anger with the Supreme Court has allowed to happen in Texas, but to get ready for what's on the way. We're talking about a march this weekend, and that's important, but the real work is going to come quietly and probably out of view for most people. We're looking to build capacity and momentum, and I think that... Maintaining an appropriate level of outrage has become a challenge. Part of the purpose of the protest Saturday is not just to register anger with the Supreme Court has allowed to happen in Texas, but to get ready for what's on the way. We're talking about a march this weekend, and that's important, but the real work is going to come quietly and probably out of view for most people. We're looking to build capacity and momentum, and I think that's really important in the fight to come. That's Rachel O'Leary Carmona, the executive director of the Women's March. Just talk about what Michelle's writing about, the fight that maybe won't be broadcast on the news tomorrow. Well, the, even as the marches, they are centering people who have had abortions, they're centering providers, people who are on the ground right now without the access. You know, the Supreme Court basically banned abortion for 1 in 10. Writing about the fight that, that maybe won't be broadcast on the news tomorrow. Well, the, even as the marches, they are centering people who have had abortions, they're centering providers, people who are on the ground right now without the access. You know, the Supreme Court basically banned abortion for 1 in 10 people of women of reproductive age in this country. And I don't know that we fully understand the reality of that. And so hearing those stories is going to be important. Hearing what this is like for people who are not able to scrape together the funds to leave the state of Texas. Hearing people talk about what it was like. If you think even since your mayoral run, this has changed in terms of a front burner issue. I mean, most young women, most young men and women who vote don't have the protection of reproductive freedoms front of mind. They don't vote in as high numbers as I wish they did, but they have climate change, they have the economy, they have other things front of mind. I wonder if you think this changes that and sort of awakens younger voters.
Things like having the power to make decisions over your own body have been very important for this generation, particularly as we start to talk about gender identity, transgender, the ability to understand gender versus sexual, what your sex was at birth. I mean, these are all very, very present issues for this generation, and I actually felt it when I can, even though I was running for mayor of New York City, which is a very democratic city, which supports of the right, a woman's right to choose, a person's right to.
And I think that's really important in the fight to come. That's Rachel O'Leary Carmona, the executive director of the Women's March. Just talk about what Michelle's writing about, the fight that, that maybe won't be broadcast on the news tomorrow.
Well, the, even as the marches, they are centering people who have had abortions, they're centering providers, people who are on the ground right now without the access. You know, the Supreme Court basically banned abortion for 1 in 10 people of women of reproductive age in this country. And I don't know that we fully understand the reality of that. And so hearing those stories is going to be important. Hearing what this is like for people who are not able to scrape together the funds to leave the state of Texas. Hearing people talk about what it was like before Roe versus Wade, that is what we're going to be lifting in this time to really ground us. For the people who are just now paying attention and just now thinking about it and learning what is at stake, we have a bit of a process to go before we are awakened to the reality that we are in the fight of our lives here.
You know, Laya, you are sort of ear to the ground. I mean, you understand what some voters' minds having just run yourself. I wonder if you think even since your mayoral run, this has changed in terms of a front burner issue. I mean, most young women, most young men and women who vote don't have the protection of reproductive freedoms front of mind. They don't vote in as high numbers as I wish they did, but they have climate change, they have the economy, they have other things front of mind. I wonder if you think this changes that and sort of awakens younger voters.
decisions over your own body have been very important for this generation, particularly as we start to talk about gender identity, transgender, the ability to understand gender versus sexual, what your sex was at birth. These are all very, very present issues for this generation. And I actually felt it when I ran, even though I was running for mayor of New York City, which is a very democratic city, which supports of the right, a woman's right to choose, a person's right to make choices about their own gender identities. And yet I was being asked about my position on exactly this issue. Despite that, and even in New York City, we've had issues with clinics having to deal with folks making it very hard, blocking and protesting of people who are entering, say, a Planned Parenthood clinic in order to get healthcare. And that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about healthcare and everybody's right to make decisions about their own bodies. So I do think what we're seeing is going to continue to play out as a major issue in this country and for voters, including young voters. I would just say they've had a very broad approach to how they're looking at what it is to have bodily integrity and whose body and how to identify and even define their own body. And that's always been an issue for them.
Yeah, and you don't have to be a former candidate or a former political operative to read a poll. 8% think that what they did in Texas is a good idea. Neil Katyal, Fatima Goss Graves, Maya Wiley, thank you so much for setting us up on this important topic today. When we come back, the rise in political violence in this country tragically shows no sign of letting up. And there's new reporting showing that one far-right militia that took part in the Capitol riot a surge in membership after the January 6th insurrection. How to combat the growing extremist threat is next. Plus, the new developments in the intelligence community as it grapples with that mysterious set of ailments known as the Havana Syndrome, what lawmakers doing this week to try to crack the case, and more proof that vaccine mandates are working. Call it what it is, a success story for the Biden administration. The White House continues after a quick break. Don't go anywhere.
Ray loves vacations, but his diabetes never seemed to take one. Everything felt like a no. Everything. But then Ray went from no to no. With FreeStyle Libre 14 Day, now he knows his glucose levels when he needs to and when he wants to. So Ray can be Ray. Take the mystery out of your glucose levels and lower your A1C. Now you know. Try it for free. Visit FreeStyleLibre.us.
Bipolar depression. It made me feel like I was trapped in a fog. This is art inspired by real stories of people living with bipolar depression.
I just couldn't find my way out of it.
The lows of bipolar depression can take you to a dark place and be hard to manage. Matuda could make a real difference in your symptoms. Matuda was proven to significantly reduce bipolar depression symptoms, and in clinical studies had no substantial impact on weight.
This is where I want to be.
Latuda is not for everyone. Call your doctor about unusual mood changes, mediators, or suicidal thoughts. Antidepressants can increase the age of children, teens, and young adults. Elderly dementia patients on Latuda have an increased risk of death or stroke. Call your doctor about fever, stiff muscles, and infusion. As these may be life-threatening, muscle movements, as these may be permanent. These are not all serious side effects.
Now, I'm back where I belong. Ask your doctor about Latuda and pay as little as $0 for your first prescription.
For new owners, a football game can really bring out the parent in them.
It's smart we park near the exit.
Absolutely.
There you go.
That way.
Let's put away the parking talk, maybe, for a minute.
Parking is where the money is, though. You're messing with this place all in on parking lot.
All right, no more talking about parking lots. A lot of these are compact spots.
It's not pretty.
Progressive can't protect you from becoming your parents, but we can protect your home and auto when you bundle with us.
We still plan to head out in the third quarter.
Let's not talk about leaving before we're actually at the game.
Now, the owner operator of the big rig, and you had to make your own tax. And when the bottom fell out, I had the government on my back full.
You're going to be the most underrated player in the big leagues. These are MVP numbers. It seems like you're the top 3, 4, 5 every year he plays. He's just a little fella doing his thing and lovable by his teammates. So give me the run score for the plus one bid.
Okay.
Give you Sean and I to finish up intentional chalk. Okay, since we ate left eight on the ball.
Yeah.
4.5 punches, over or under.
Give me the over for the minus 130. 8 Ks and 7 Ks and picks versus Houston. His last
times you're like, I go, you know, adult beverages, and no one ever sweeps on shiny hair. So part of my consideration, -130, show hair, over 5 strikeouts, go get him, Shiny.
Okay, those are a few plays for you to consider, and we would like.
Yesterday, going to mark the first time Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Eminem, Mary J. Blige, and Kendrick Lamar all performing together on stage. Of course,
we're
doing such right there for the greater LA community. They're hosting Super Bowl for the first time in their...
Look who's going to be at the Super Bowl. Who you got? I had this white guy. I had this white guy on my show. He filled up the whole show, the whole club. He was a nasty, he wasn't nasty. He was very nice.
I don't mind, you know,
anyway.
I'm ridiculous. Hold up, guys. Good thing I usually get to these clinics early.
Oh, so you got there to get early?
Early. And when I got from the, it was the leasing office, you know, these apartments, and we got a leasing office. So I was rushing on punk. I went in there. I said, my team leader, I have to come here and see what I'm set up. So she said, oh, no, nobody. I said, I told Patty, I said, why did she call someone and tell her?
So you're telling me that she knew that no one was with her, was coming,
yeah, and
she
didn't call you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. is coverage for the pandemic by that AKA money shower for working people, both stimulus checks, surveillance, and education. Has anyone who knows anything about the economics in the grind that it takes time? Could you have anything more fun to go to for what I know than the elegant logistics that are earlier in progress?
Yeah.
I got my booster already.
What do you say?
He said, people died because